Welcome to the second episode of Mulder It's Us, an X-Files podcast with Candy and Jen. I'm Jen, artist, baker, event planner, podcaster, co-hosting again with my good friend Candy, who is a writer, editor, and lover of all things extraterrestrial, especially the X-Files. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good.
I'm loving my intro.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to mix it up each week. We only have a limited number of episodes, so wanted to do something, a little fun, keep you on your toes.
I like it.
So this is technically our second preview episode, but also a countdown episode because in about 1 hour, give or take, the premiere of X-Files Season 10 will start here on the West Coast.
Whoop, whoop.
Candy, how excited are you?
I'm real excited.
Yeah?
Like real, real excited.
Yeah. More excited than nervous like last week?
Yes. Now that I finished my rewatch, I watched actually the final episode of the final season today. I'm real excited.
You're a good woman.
I'm remembering what it was like to watch, because I've seen it a few times now, but right. I'm remembering what it was like to watch the final episode
right.
way back when and know that there wasn't going to be any more.
Right.
And now there's going to be more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's really exciting. I'm kicking myself. I didn't get through the entire series the first nine a second time as I had hoped. But I'm excited to hear, things that have come back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's all good stuff.
Yeah.
Which is very, very much what we're going to talk about tonight.
Let's do it.
We are going to talk about some of our favorite characters.
Mm-hmm.
Characters that most of them are going to be on the new season. One very important character is not Agent Doggett, sad face.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Mulder and Scully relationship
mm-hmm.
and the Chris Carter and Kumail situation also, which is
yes.
super relevant.
Yeah. And unfortunately, probably a bigger thing than it should be. It shouldn't, like to me, I just hate to see that overshadow everything good that's going to happen tonight and the next 6 weeks.
Absolutely. And at least, as far as I can tell, I feel like the Kumail situation has dissipated uh-huh. a bit, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some corner of the web that I'm missing where it's still very, very relevant.
Yeah. There's a lot of reason I don't go to those corners of the interwebs because it just is, it's just going to make me sad.
And then
angry.
And you like read all the comments and you get like super into it. And,
right.
And
right.
then like 2 hours are gone and right. you're angry and you don't know what to do with yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay. So you're the one with the note card. So I'm going to let you.
Super note card.
Go through. It's literally like, you look like you're cramming for your senior finals or something.
Which is kind of how I feel. I actually went out the other day and bought note cards just aww. For this situation.
You've got highlighted
and everything.
Highlighted parts.
There's like
and
binder clips
like post-its and yeah.
Yeah. It's real serious.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we should talk about our favorite characters and mm-hmm. really the characters that I think were very, very big.
Right.
Especially since, like I said last week, I'm very curious to see what they do with characters on the new season.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the characters that we do love from the original run are, we love them because they developed over time
mm-hmm.
and they became very, very important. And with only six episodes, it'll be interesting to see what they do with secondary characters, seeing as how secondary characters were so, so, so important
mm-hmm.
to the original run. So,
yeah.
One
of the big things about it, too, that, we have to remind ourselves when this started 20 years ago, that's when, TV series. Each season had, 24 to 25 episodes. They were a full 44 to, 46 minutes long. They were like mini movies. They're very dense. And I think that's part of the reason I underestimated how long it would take me yes. to do the rewatch.
Yes.
And so they had the luxury of being patient and
really,
really careful about, how the characters evolved and how, things were revealed and then giving them the opportunity to be full-fledged characters and not just caricatures, which I think like so many, I think that's part of the reason so many series now just are canceled so quickly because so much is expected with so little
time and, mm-hmm. and yes, you expect it to be amazing mm-hmm. from the get-go.
Yeah.
Whereas 20 years ago, you had a little more time maybe mm-hmm. to really grow something.
Right. Right.
Just talking about this makes me all excited.
Oh, good. Okay. So
okay.
Run off your list.
I made the mistake of, because like I said last week, I've been trying to really avoid too much saturation. Mm-hmm. I accidentally went on IMDb for the new season and got all kinds of information I didn't want.
Yeah.
Part of that was that Robert Patrick will not be on this season, which makes me really, really sad because Doggett is one of my favorite characters, which is surprising.
Interesting, yeah. Because, you know, of when he came into the show, a lot of people thought, well, this is, you know, clearly the sign of, you know, the beginning of the end, and, you know, nothing good happens when you replace main characters.
Right, David's leaving, everything's going
to
be horrible.
It's going to all go to crap, and what is your love?
First, I will briefly explain my love for Robert Patrick. I do. I love him.
He's
I think
fantastic.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
And so every time I see him in something, no matter what you do, he's kind of always a T-1000. Like you can't help it, right? So whenever I see him, the first thing I think is, I'm a little scared. Right. I get a little scared. And then I think, oh my God, am I important? Like, do I save the future? Like it takes me a moment to put him in the position he's actually in that series. But yeah, I love him. I think he's amazing. I think he was perfect casting.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't want to like him because he did kind of feel like there was this guy coming in to replace Mulder.
Right.
And you just love him from the get-go. They did an amazing job. He did an amazing job. I think the character is fantastic. He's so good. He's just so good. And he cares about her so much, not necessarily because he feels he needs to protect her or whatever, especially in the beginning when they were very much at odds, but because he's just a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees that things are happening, even if he doesn't buy it. He's a very black and white person, but he still feels like something's wrong. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what she thinks or what I think. Something is wrong. Someone is doing something bad.
Right.
People are being killed, whatever it might be. And I need to figure out what that is. And it's sweet. And he's just so dreamy. It's like the perfect moment of Robert Patrick. Like, he's perfect.
I mean, I was really surprised. And again, I haven't watched that, you know, season since it aired. And, you know, I remember there was all of this. There was a feeling that they were either going to bring in somebody to try to mimic and replace him in that, like, just basically Fox 2.0, which wouldn't really work, or be the antithesis. And then you're like, but I don't want that either. So you're right. The fact that they were able to bring in a whole new character, but still had all of the wonderful qualities and traits and, you know, the same rapport and the, you know, the working together on the cases and, you know, regardless of your belief system. And I thought that was really cool.
It was perfect. Yeah. It really was.
And
it could have gone really, really
cute.
Poorly. So cute. He is so cute. It's those eyes and that smile. I have my three favorite moments.
Oh my, go ahead.
Yeah. The first being, and I'm going to super nerd out for a second. I'm really into when, you know, character actors end up together from another thing. And I usually always bring it back to the X-Files. Like now if I see, for example, not to go into other fandoms, but for example, on Supernatural, you had Mitch and the guy who played X were actually on Supernatural together, and I get real excited.
Oh, my gosh.
Robert Patrick was on Sons of Anarchy, so is Mitch. I'm going to say Pileggi. I think I'm saying it wrong.
That's right. Yes.
Yes. And I get so excited. The X-Files did an amazing thing. We're in the first, like, within the first five episodes, I think, episode six, actually, of season eight, they brought in Joe Morton, who is Miles Dyson.
Yes.
So Miles Dyson and the T-1000 are buddies in this awesome, awesome episode that is largely just about Joe Morton's character.
Right.
Scully and Doggett are very in it very, very little.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing because, again, Joe Morton is fantastic.
He is.
Everything he does is fantastic.
And it's funny because I forgot about him in that. I mean, because Joe Morton is always going to be Henry from Eureka to me.
And to me, he's Miles Dyson, then Henry Deacon.
Right. So.
It's a great episode. He's fantastic. And I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, these two people from that are in this, and I don't even care how it happened, if it happened on purpose. I don't care because honestly, for the longest time, actually until Eureka, I called Joe Morton Miles Dyson. Like I didn't know his name for a while, but he was in everything. He was that guy who has that mole who's in everything, and he's amazing. And it's just, it's a great episode. So that's my first favorite moment. My second is in Salvage, which is season 8, episode 9, which is the first time they encounter one of these super soldiers, one of these metal men.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And the line is, I'm gonna pull out my notes here. And the line is from Doggett to Scully. What are you saying? Ray Pierce has some sort of metal man? Because that only happens in the movies, Agent Scully.
Beautiful.
I mean, come on.
Beautiful.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's just good TV.
Yeah.
And then there's also, within the first couple of episodes of that season, Scully tells him that she's going to get him a desk. Mm-hmm. They don't know where Mulder is. They don't know when he's coming back. She's dealing with that. She's pregnant. It's all kinds of things happening, but she does
chaos
accept him and tells him, you know, I never had a desk down here. I'll make sure that you get one. And the smile he gives her when he says, all right, is just almost too much. And if you aren't in love with him by that point, you've missed it. You've missed what the intention was.
Right.
Because
you just had your eyes and your heart closed. You were just...
You weren't open.
You were fighting it.
Right. Yeah. You weren't believing that it was possible.
Yeah.
Right?
That others could exist
so
in
that's,
this.
Yeah.
All right.
That's my Robert Patrick love, which is, I am really sad that he's not in the new season. I don't know why. I haven't looked into it. I mean, it's probably a scheduling conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than anything else.
Trying to think if I know of him in anything right now.
I know I think he's on, let me know if I'm wrong, people listening, but I think he's on Scorpion.
I'm just going to do a quick search.
Filming. So that really could be it.
Right. Okay. And who's your next favorite character?
Okay. Here we go. The Lone Gunman. Dun, dun, dun.
But they're just one character.
But and which is so cute because they actually, on the series, when they're listing the credits in the beginning, once the show has started, you know, they list those three actors as one.
Yeah.
And it's just so cute. Langley, Frohicke, Byers, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. I made a comment last week, and I posted this online about them dying. Sorry. Spoiler, I guess.
I think the 14-year moratorium on spoilers is. I think you're safe.
Thank you. Thank you. Actually, I'm
disgruntled person across the room. Sorry.
I've already. I know. Yeah.
angry engineer over here.
Yes, our tech department's real upset about things that may be said.
We're going to be muted. They're just going to be like randomly muted.
Just to piss us off.
Oh, yep. There he goes. He did that thing.
Oh, no.
If it wasn't the X-Files, I wouldn't care. I'd be like, listen, it has been 20 years. You deal. But it's the X-Files, and I know how awesome it is. So I do still kind of feel bad, but also suck it up.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, The Lone Gunman.
Yeah.
I actually posted this picture on Instagram recently, and I'll repost it. But when I was watching everything. Mm-hmm. I was making notes, and not only am I watching, but I am... On Tumblr, I follow a bunch of people that are huge X-Files fans, some great, great accounts. And there's these pictures keep popping up, and there's this one from, I'm going to say season 8, and it's Frohicke hugging Mulder after he's been missing.
Right.
And he comes back. And that is this note that I made that just says nerd puppy.
Aww.
And for like a week, I wasn't sure what that meant. Like I wrote it down.
Oh, that's right. I saw the picture on that post-it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, I just want that. I want to follow that band.
Yeah.
Around the country.
That does sound like a good band.
Nerd puppy.
Ooh, good idea. Good idea. And that's what he is. He's a nerd puppy. And I love them so much. They are quite often the true heroes of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Of the universe. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. Frohicke's probably my favorite. He's the little one.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. I know.
So, so cute. And they're just so pure.
Yes.
And simple. And it's the good versus evil.
And they believe in what is right.
And that's what they, there's no question.
Yeah. There's no gray area with them. And you know, they're not afraid to keep, you know, fighting for what's right and, you know, getting to the truth. But I do... I did recently see a little bit of that episode when he shows up drunk at Scully's door. It was pretty cute.
I love him so much. It's like, and he loves her. And he loves Mulder.
So much. Yeah. I mean, yes, he absolutely has like this huge nerd crush on her. And it's weird because it's not just, you know, like, oh my gosh, she's a woman. She's the only woman, you know.
Right.
He's... in love with her brain, and like, yes, she is so sexy and smart and all those wonderful things.
And her attitude, he just loves her. I think it's season two or three, probably actually two, when after she disappears after her abduction, she comes back, she's in the hospital, and he shows up with flowers in a tuxedo.
Yes.
And I just, I just want to put him in my pocket and carry him around for adorableness at all times. He's amazing. They're all so good. Actually, his love of Scully, it's in episode seven, the episode Three of a Kind, which is when they are at, they're at like a defense contractors convention, and he, Byers finds, he's looking for Suzanne Modesky, who's that woman he met years before that got them involved in this stuff to begin with. Sorry, to go super hardcore.
No, go there.
Yeah. So they're at this convention, and which is awesome because Morris Fletcher is also at the convention. And they call Scully, pretending to be Mulder, using a computer to say, come help us, because they need help. And as they're doing it, the three of them are sitting in their hotel room, and Frohicke says, she's going to kick our ass. And he says it twice. And he's right, because he knows her, because he loves her.
Yes.
And it's just fantastic. I actually watched the that horrible episode today, Jump the Shark in season nine, which is the episode where they perish. So to be honest, between everything I watched today, I spent the majority of my day just covered in tears.
Yeah.
Just covered in nerd tears. Like, I couldn't.
But from what I remember, and maybe it was just all of the talk and all of the denial after the fact, again, many, many years ago, I thought there was still a slight possibility that they did not actually perish. What is out there on that?
Well, I can't remember what season of the X-Files it was that they attempted the Lone Gunman spinoff series, which did not go well. Neither did the Millennium spinoff series. I think that maybe got a half a season. But they do appear in the final episode of the show. And they appear as when Mulder is going through his trial and all of the things he's dealing with, he sees ghosts. And he sees them. They were actually dead. I think everyone was just hoping upon hope.
Right, that's what I was saying. It could have been denial.
Yeah, because everyone loved them so much. They were perfect characters.
And it's not like the show to have killed somebody off and then bring him back.
Right, unless you're a super soldier, which I'm going to just segue right into the super soldier. This is really for later because we have more important characters to talk about. But in regards to casting, I don't know how many people realize this. It's important to me because I have sci-fi issues. But, you know, Adam Baldwin, really, let's talk about his trifecta of perfection, which is Independence Day, X-Files, and Firefly. The guy is in all the good stuff because he's a super soldier. Yeah. And he's just so good.
And the best part about him is he does kind of come off as a whiny bitch sometimes.
A little bit.
But, you know, he gets the stuff done. And I am now struggling to remember him in Independence Day.
He played one of the people at Area 51. He was a captain, maybe a lieutenant, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
He's the guy at one point when they're doing the big experiment with the ship that they have, and they're going to fly it into space, and they ask, he asked the guy, do you have a sidearm? And he's the one who shoots that can off the ship.
Wow.
Sorry.
No. I mean, and it's kind of funny because he will for always and ever be my bodyguard to me. Which, I mean, come on. Maybe I'm dating myself a little bit here, but I just, like, to me, he was just this sort of, you know, big lug who begrudgingly would do what's right.
Begrudgingly,
exactly. And that's why I'm like, and then to see him in later roles, and that's why I'm like, oh, you're just kind of a whiny bitch.
Yeah, a little bit,
but you're going to do it anyhow, so just do it.
He's great.
He's fantastic. I mean, his comic timing the restraint in his acting, and, you know, he is super fun to watch.
You know, since we're talking about him, honestly, I'm not even sure if this show is still running new episodes. I apologize for not being super up on it because I'm really proud of my TV vibes, but he's on Battleship. And he's super, super ripped. He's like huge.
Wow. Good for him.
And he's really great on it. So check him out.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I think I only have one more, super important character, and that's Krycek.
Krychek. Yeah. To know him is to love, hate him.
Love, hate him. Exactly. Yeah. Love slash. Yeah. There's a slash. There might be more than one. Love slash hate slash want to hang out with slash.
I want to punch in the face.
Right.
Why don't you say, stop killing people. Stop trying to kill my friends.
You're better than that, yeah. Krychek. You are. Yeah. I see it deep down.
I mean, he's a company man. Like, that's part of the thing. Is he's company man. He's doing what he's told to do.
Right. And he's in it for himself. And hey, you know, he does whatever he thinks
will benefit his situation.
Is right at the time. And that changes. And it grows over time.
Yeah.
I actually feel for him a little bit. Mm-hmm. Much in the way that I feel for Cigarette Smoking Man after you watch that episode, Musings of a Cigarette Smoking Man, where you see his life before and what he tried to do and the fact that he just wanted to write novels. He wanted to write mysteries and no one would buy it. And he ended up becoming this person based on many factors, which we all do, right? And I think that's exactly what happened to Krychek.
Yeah.
Can I swear? I feel like we have a rating. Can we change our rating on iTunes? Can I say the F word? All right. So every time Krychek shows up on the screen, and I've probably only always done this, but in my most recent rewatch, I've really noticed it. Mm-hmm. Every time he shows up, I go, fucking Krychek. But it's not always angry. Sometimes it's like, fucking Krychek. Like, aw, Krychek. I love him. I hate him. Every time he shows up, I know something horrible is going to happen, but I still want him to make it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't. And
you always
sad.
Want more of him. You always want more. It's like when he shows up in an episode, you're like, you want that story arc to continue longer.
You know,
because he's such a fascinating character. And you feel like if you could just get 10 minutes alone with him in quiet, you'd convince him what he's doing is wrong.
Right.
And he'd get it.
He'd
get it and he'd just like go with it. But yes, I mean, it is kind of funny because when I was rewatching, and so like when I started rewatching season one, I don't know how many months ago. In season one, the episode about the transgender Amish person, do you remember that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
One of the victims was played by him.
Yes, and I love it when TV does that.
And it's like, okay, so we're used to seeing Law and Order. And, you know, like you see the same person show up one season as the criminal, two seasons later as the victim, three seasons later as the judge.
Right. Or that's, the DA.
That's fine. I mean, that happens. But to have such a recognizable actor only the next season to have them come back to be a major character, I was like, come on, guys. What's going on here?
What's happening?
What are you doing?
Well, which is so funny because it is... I wonder. I feel like probably a lot of that has to do with the fact that it filmed in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and which is so funny because I never thought about this before, but you do see, I think it's right after the movie that they ended up shooting in LA.
Right.
Maybe season 7, but I'm pretty sure season 6.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden everyone gets super not Canadian, like all of the extras.
Oh, right. I mean, Josh has been watching it, steadily through the beginning. And it's so funny because he keeps saying it's when season 6 has such a higher production value. Like it just looks different. It looks like it's shot different. Like everything just looks and feels different. It's like, okay, yeah, you're in LA. And it is funny because I do forget that the first, you know, half of the series was in Canada. And when I think of shows like Law and Order, every bit character that's in, you know, an episode, you expect to know them from something else because in Law and Order you would.
Right.
But these are all Canadian actors. So unless you watch a lot of Sci-Fi Network.
Right. Yeah.
You probably don't recognize them from anything.
Absolutely. And it's great.
It is.
And it almost feels like when you do watch a lot of that stuff and you do know these actors, like maybe you know something awesome and something special and kind of secret. Yeah.
You get that like nerd giggle inside.
It's the nerd giggle.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it is. And speaking of Nicholas Lee, who played Krychek, who is amazing, who really is.
I've never seen him in anything else.
He is on Arrow. He's been on Arrow.
Oh. Okay.
And Continuum, which is a sci-fi show.
Yes.
And he does have a bunch of stuff going on right now. So it's check him out.
That's
look
awesome.
Him up because he's amazing.
Yes.
I miss him now that I've rewatched that final season.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I miss Krychek all over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to deal with. Again, covered in tears just all day.
Yeah. Aww.
Real.
But it's good because, well, I mean, not him and you know, not Doggett, but you will get reunited very shortly with some of these characters. So
excited. I can't believe it. And let's do a real quick on Skinner, how much we love Skinner, who is back, who is great.
Amazing.
Oh, and Mitch, he's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and he is one that I, over the years, he's hard to not recognize.
Oh, yeah.
And it is so funny to see him as so many different characters, like you mentioned in Sons of Anarchy. Yes.
Oh, my God. And I don't know if it's just because he's Skinner or what, but I mean, in Sons of Anarchy, he played this kind of horrible character. He was like, and he wasn't the worst of the skinheads, but he wasn't great.
Yeah,
and like, I still kind of loved him.
Yeah.
Oops.
You got to think for the Bad Boys.
That's a whole nother series. That's a whole nother podcast. Super true.
Yeah.
Also, Kirsch, A.D. Kirsch, who has done a whole bunch of stuff, but went kind of from the X-Files to super popularity on Grey's Anatomy,
yes.
Who's amazing.
Everybody loves him, yes.
So I watched the final episode today, and there's that moment where they're breaking Mulder out, and they open the door. It's Doggett and Skinner and Mulder, and they open the door, and Kirsch is there. And there's that moment of, what's going to happen? But I know, you know, because I've seen it like a million times. And Kirsch says, you're not going to get out that way. Follow me or come with me or whatever.
Right.
And you get so excited.
Yeah.
And you just love him that much. And about 6 months ago, I texted my friend Jess in Chicago, and I was at Rite Aid. I had to stop everything I was doing and say, Kirsch is next to me in the parking lot at Rite Aid. I don't know what to do.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And oh, my gosh.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you just stand and smile until he?
No, I totally played it super cool because, you know, I don't like to make people feel weird. I'm real, you know, professional or whatever.
Respectful.
Yes. Yes.
Respectful.
But I did notice it was him. Not pull out of my parking spot and stop to text my friend and tell her he was there because it's Kirsch. It's a big deal. And he's so good when he gives those like very, very severe talkings to Doggett.
Right.
The man has a great voice. He just delivers his lines so well and you can't help but watch his mouth when he talks and it's so serious.
Yes.
And he's just amazing. And then he ends up on the right team.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
So good. That's pretty much it, though. Out of major characters, I mean, you have Marita Covarrubias, who is a really big deal, who is played by Laurie Holden.
Yes.
Who
many people know her from The Walking Dead.
From The Walking Dead, who in the first season of The Walking Dead was on the show with the guy from the first movie, the guy who says so much for Little Green Men.
Yes.
Yeah. So I freaked out.
And I loved his character. I love that actor.
Yes.
He's fantastic.
He is
fantastic. I cannot think of his name this second. But he is wonderful to watch. There is a gentle nature to him.
Yes.
But it's very commanding. He has that.
He has a presence.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's gentle. It's not
yeah.
Big and booming.
And he's not a huge guy.
Yeah.
He's you know, moderately height and everything else, but he is he does have a presence that kind of enters the room before him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So our question is, what we're hoping is the actors that we see coming up on the new season are going to be as memorable and as amazing. I'm very, very excited about it. It looks like they have a bunch of great guest stars.
Right. Yes. So you did look on IMDb and you did say the list was very extensive. So we're talking about less than 6 hours of television, though.
Right. Right.
In reality.
Right.
So when you break it down, commercials and all that stuff.
Which is why I'm so curious.
Yeah.
I really, really am. I'm excited about Joel McHale because I just love him so much.
Oh, I didn't see he was.
Yeah. So he plays kind of like a TV correspondent. I'm guessing he's very conservative. He's very Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a whole bunch of conspiracy theories. And actually, he's the guy who brings Mulder and Scully kind of back into it, which is awesome. Which is awesome because we all know, you know, he has this great live TV persona. You know, he has this great...
You know, and he does have an interesting dramatic acting I mean, what was the movie? I think it was The Informant.
He's great.
With Matt Damon, and he was, again, you know him, you know, as a comedian, you know him as the, you know, the soup guy, but to see him be this character who just, you know, wants to get it right. He wants to make it right. So it'll be interesting to see. So I can totally see him
being
that character.
Yeah. And very enigmatic and just great. Yeah. Who was also on Sons of Anarchy. Let's just put that out there.
Oh my gosh. He was. He was like a lawyer guy. He was a suit.
Yes.
He was. Was he like a DA? He was.
Is
he in the FBI?
Because no, interwebs. There's so many laptops on the table right now.
I know, right? We're all you know, just got to refresh our memories here and there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, he is. He is amazing. I'm really excited about him. I'm really excited about Kumail, which is, we're going to use this as a segue as well. But it's awesome that Kumail started this podcast only about a year ago, year and a half ago, the X-Files. It's really only been on, since 2014.
Really?
Yeah. And it gained huge popularity very fast, partially because he's great. I mean, everyone, he's a great comedian. He's a great actor. You know, people, he definitely has a fan base and they loved this podcast.
Right.
And, you know, as a fan, let's put everything else aside for a second. It is great. It's super awesome to see someone who's a fan of the show who just loves it and wants to talk about it to then be on the show is kind of like nerd dreams come true.
Okay, so when he started the podcast a year or so ago, did he know that season 10 was happening?
Nope.
That's pretty amazing because I don't know how many podcasts can actually take off that many years after a show without knowing something's coming up.
Right. And as far as I know, I mean, he just kind of loved the show and maybe he was in between projects.
Right.
You know, I don't know how it started, but they started a rewatch.
Okay.
And every podcast they do talk to, they have a guest on and they break down an episode. They talk about a whole thing and it's about an hour and it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good.
Have you listened to every episode?
Have I?
Right.
I certainly have not.
Oh, okay.
I certainly have not. Only because I has a busy. I can't. But it's great.
Yeah.
It really is great. It's, and that he got to be on the show was just, just so cool. I mean, how could you ask for anything more as a fan?
Right. And it's more than just like stunt casting or, you know, I mean, because at this stage, obviously, and with such a short run, they don't need to do that.
No.
They don't need to, like, put this guy in there to bolster their ratings.
They don't need
publicity.
It's
already
going
to be fantastic. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
It's
but that's
cool
really cool.
Because it's great that nowadays, when the X-Files started, you had the beginnings of the internet in everybody's home. Mm-hmm. And I remember being a part of, like, the forums of how the X-Files.
Back.
Oh man, it was so good. It was.
Did you sign on AOL?
Of course. Yay. It took me half an hour to get online.
Dial up.
To then spend 3 hours just typing and talking to random people. I have no idea.
Oh, come
but
on.
I do know that thanks to the X-Files and all of that kind of fandom forum stuff, I did end up on a site. I'm going to shout it out, I guess, called The Black Vault, which is how I made a really good friend from across the world.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was really cool. I think I might have lost my train of thought. I'm so excited.
Well, so we were talking about.
Oh yes. Got it. So nowadays, the fandoms are so big online and it's really big, and shows like Supernatural are really able to play with the fandoms in the show.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to pull from things they see the fandom wanting online and bring it into the episodes. And it's awesome. I'm going to pull, I think it's from the previous season than what's airing right now of Supernatural, which is the episode where, I mean, as meta as you can possibly be, they actually, you know, Sam and Dean go to investigate at a school, an all-girls school, where they're doing a musical of Supernatural. You know, it's based on the books that the guy wrote. And, like, I mean, they get really, really into it. And they can really answer the fandom's wants and needs.
Right.
The X-Files didn't have that opportunity 20 years ago.
Right.
That just wasn't possible. Now, the fact that they brought Kumail in is really kind of their way of paying attention to what's going on out there and kind of addressing what's happening.
And I can see how, like, in these situations, it's working out to a good thing. Or, you know, and hopefully we'll see what happens with Kumail. But I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. But I mean, you've read some crazy fan stuff. If you saw every fan's wish, desire, want incorporated into a show, like how crazy would that be?
Be real crazy.
I mean,
It's simply based on when the X-Files happened and the onset of the internet and everyone's home, I feel like that's really where fan fiction got its base. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now you're looking at this fan fiction world that has been going on for 20 years that is very, very rooted in the beginnings of fan fiction. Mm-hmm. But I do remember back then reading things and seeing things, and I even have two books that were actually published fan fiction books. And they weren't bad. It's good. Of course it's good. But it's, you know, I don't think I could ever watch an episode that was like that. And I hope we're not angering people.
Oh, no. I'm just curious because I have watched shows and we did a podcast on another show before. And just we would hear from our listeners all the time. They're like, we want this. We want this. We want this. And once it happened, they're like, oh, I can't believe they did that. That's not, you know, it's not the way I thought it would go. I thought it would be better. You know, and it just, it got frustrating and it got hard to just enjoy the show.
Right.
So, I mean, again, I keep going back. It's only six episodes, but they're going to be amazing.
They are. They're going to be amazing. I guess let's get into it. Let's talk about...
Tell me about the elephant in the room.
Scully and Mulder and the relationship and the effect it has had on pop culture and fandoms and kind of the world.
Yep.
Jen, you go first. Your thoughts.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we talked a little bit. I don't know if it was on the podcast last week or after the podcast, because I think the podcast was like 12 minutes and then we talked for the next hour and a half.
We had a great conversation afterwards.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And every 5 minutes we'd look at each other and be like, you should be recording this. This is podcasting gold. But, okay. You said, you know, the biggest grumbles you've been hearing is because Chris Carter stated, you know, they're not going to be together.
Right, which was months ago.
So get over it, people.
So let's move on. Yeah.
But, and why, you know, the outrage that came from that? Because, as we were saying, it is possible for two adults, male-female, male-male, female-female, whatever, to genuinely love each other and be friends and not have it be anything more.
Right.
And one of the things that, you know, bothered me when I was hearing more and more about, like, oh, they should be together. And it's like every show I've watched where the, you know, male and female leads, you know, will they, won't they? Once they do, always became so boring.
Yes.
Not interesting. They became no longer individual people. They were now a couple. They no longer had their own identity. That was all lost. And the thing with, you know, Scully and Mulder that bothers me, I feel like it's a real disservice. And like I said, it shortchanges their relationship by saying it needs to be romantic.
Right.
And to minimize who these two people are to each other and on their own is just insane. It's frustrating.
It is frustrating. And it's, you know, let's be clear. Does the idea of Mulder and Scully living in some house and he's making her toast in the morning just in his boxers and then like they have to give the dog a bath. Is that adorable to me? Sure is. Do I want them to like constantly in the ether somewhere be banging? Sure. Sure I do. But as an actual, I hate to say this because maybe it sounds kind of crazy, but the reality of the show, these people that Chris Carter essentially birthed, okay, in this universe that he created, does it work for them? It doesn't. It really doesn't. And, you know, I was young when the show started, and I loved that. I loved the fact that it was a man and a woman, and they were heterosexual, and they weren't in an immediate relationship. And the way they played, not just the tension, because the word, you know, the tension kind of has been thrown around quite a bit of, you want the tension, but truthfully, you don't even realize it's happening. It's not until you're six seasons into the episode that you realize that tension is there, and not just tension, but that respect that they built to first is the respect, and then the care. I mean, really, in the first three seasons of the series, they put these two people through everything they possibly could. Everyone's family members are murdered. And like, yeah. Scully is abducted.
But she's abducted and he's still wearing her cross. Like, seriously.
It is. That was very real. It's a real relationship.
And the thing is, you know, to also see them be human. So, yes, they love and respect each other as professionals, as people, as, you know, the person who's been through everything and back with each other.
Right.
You know, that's a huge thing. And now I just lost my train of thought.
Because it's just a lot.
It is. It is a lot. But then, and every now and then, you know, you see little hints of almost jealousy and not even like in a romantic sense.
Yes.
But like another episode that I saw not too long ago, and it's the one with the cockroaches and Dr. Bambi.
Oh,
and, you know, just Scully's face. And I'm not saying she was jealous on a romantic level, but she was a little jealous on a professional level because here he is out, like, you know, investigating and solving this amazing, you know, this mystery. So I think it's for them to be so in tune with one another on so many different levels.
Which they worked at. It didn't just happen.
Yeah.
They worked
at it.
Grew
over time.
Yes.
And understanding, and it's kind of funny because one of the things that did strike me, again, through halfway through the rewatch, is everybody makes fun of Mulder's belief in extraterrestrial, like his passionate belief and his desire to discover it and just his ability to believe regardless. They rarely talk about Scully and her Catholicism.
Yes. And there's a few episodes that are very pointed about it.
Very pointed, but yes. It's like, it doesn't come up in general conversation and it doesn't, you know, it's not, that's not something that's sort of held over her head as, you know, believing in little green men is held over his.
Right.
But her blind faith in, you know, a divine being and intervention and that faith is, it's pretty interesting.
Which is funny. I'm going to make a quick throwback to earlier in our cast, which is the episode in, I think season 8, maybe season 9. It's got to be season 8. It's right after the baby's born.
Right.
And I'm going to lone gunman it again for a second. But you...
Block your ears.
Yeah, right. There's this moment where Mulder walks into her apartment. It's after she's given birth and, like, things were crazy and whatever. And Mulder walks in and he looks into her bedroom and the three gunmen are standing there bearing gifts. And later in that scene, I guess it's probably the next scene, they, you know, Mulder and Scully talk a little bit and they kiss over their baby who was essentially born in the middle of nowhere.
Right,
it's
right.
Just, what a nice full circle
episode.
Like
in the middle of nowhere,
like
a manger.
Oh, and there was a light. There was a light in the sky while she was giving
How
birth.
How adorable.
It was just good writing and just everything was perfect.
And again, I'm amazed because there were so many episodes cranked out week after week, you know, how thoughtful and how much care and planning could go into it all. And I was excited. I was mentally excited before, but now I'm emotionally excited.
Right? Oh, yay. Because after this, we're going to watch together, and it's going to be awesome.
We'll order some takeout. And
yes. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
mainly. Really excited about the X-Files.
Yes.
Also because food.
Yeah.
Also because I've been drinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
So here's my take.
Mm-hmm.
On the relationship, which is very, very similar to yours.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the exact same way. I thought it was great that these two people could work together and it was a man and a woman and they had this relationship that was built on trust and respect and it grew. It grew over time.
And a genuine care.
I think what might have happened in regards to Chris Carter and Kumail is the super shipping of Mulder and Scully's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
it's hard to tell sometimes. When you're reading posts on blogs and everything else, it's hard to tell if people are being just cute, if they really, really deep down to their core feel this way, that the only thing that's important about this entire series, about these two people, is the fact that they be knocking boots. You know, it's hard to tell. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to tell how people actually feel. And the idea that that is the only thing that's important is hard. And I do wonder what that there might be a disconnect between people who watched the show in its original run.
Right.
And people who came into it, you know, so many years later on Netflix or whatever it might be.
And then might have been influenced by the internet.
Right, and an age thing. Yeah. Because, you know, 20 years ago, it wasn't as easy to be a super fan, which I am. I am in all the fandoms. I'm very, very in there. But it wasn't as easy.
Right.
So I don't know if I had started watching this show today, would I have the same impression? I don't know. Because it's a very different world.
If you started watching it today, maybe even as young at a younger age, would that be it? Because it is. I mean, of course we want them to be happy. And if they can do all this amazing stuff and chase little green men and solve mysteries and you know, have all these wonderful discoveries and, you know, revelations together, and then go home at night and snuggle and watch Netflix,
That would be great.
But it's in that order. Like, I want to see the amazing. I want to see the, you know, the mental foreplay.
Exactly.
The professional volume, like, just their dialogue and in the way they challenge each other.
Right. And I think, so Kumail made these comments, and I believe this was at the Cine Family event, and it was a live podcast, which is why I can't listen to it now. I can't find it anywhere, so I'm pulling information from all over the place. But
if anybody knows where it is, send it to us, please.
Oh, absolutely. If you have a link to listen to that podcast, please send it to me. I think he said a few things along the lines of, it is just a TV show. It's, you don't want what you think you want, which has also been said by Chris Carter, which has been a major issue of contention among the fandom, among the super shippers, the shippers in general. And here's my reaction to that. Oh, and he's also kind of been pegged since then in certain places as like a anti-feminist and a sexist and a misogynist and whatever else. So my response to that is, I know. My response is this, first of all.
How can you even go there?
The issue is people were feeling like, you know, Kumail made a statement.
Right.
In regards to people who super ship Mulder and Scully.
Right.
But not realizing maybe that the people who do ship Mulder and Scully, it's a group that's primarily women. Okay, first of all, he didn't think about that. He was having an interview. He was having a conversation in front of a live audience. And he never was planning to make a statement that was anti-women.
Right, this wasn't a planned,
No.
You know, press conference
exactly.
to address this topic.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think, absolutely ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to the rest of it, I know that sometimes it feels like this isn't a TV show. Listen, if it wasn't for the X-Files, I mean, and some other factors, let's throw in some Ray Bradbury and these other influential factors as a younger person, but X-Files changed my view of science fiction entirely. Mm-hmm. I would not be a writer, probably, if it wasn't for the X-Files. I think it was a huge influence on me. It's a huge deal. I have an X-Files tattoo. Every time I have
you do. Oh, we've got to post that on the web. Yeah, yeah.
Every day I reference the X-Files in my mind. So I get it that it's real. It's real to everybody. It's not, quote unquote, just a TV show. It is real. However, it is just a TV show.
Yeah.
And we need to not ostracize and attack the creators of these things that we love.
Right.
Kumail may not have created the show, but he's taking a stance that actually the creator of the show has taken in the past.
Right.
And I'm saying 18 years in the past, Chris Carter took this stance. They went out of their way to make the relationship between Mulder and Scully beautiful, but nobody's frigging business.
Right.
And it was accepted at the time. It was, maybe we wanted a little bit more as fans, but they gave us enough. They gave us, especially if you look at season 9, they gave us the two of them coming together and that kiss in the final episode of the series and all of these
and
things.
Raising
they gave
a child.
It to us.
Yes.
They really did.
Yeah.
And they gave it to us just enough because if you look now, at these formulas for television.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to bring up shows like Bones and Fringe, shows mm-hmm. that are very, very obviously influenced by X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
Love, they do that.
Love Fringe.
Oh, my God, Fringe is so good. It's all about Walter.
Oh, we should do that. We should do a rewatch and do that. Walter's amazing. And then with Bowie's passing recently, I'm like bawling every time I listen to it. And I think
and
of
Leonard
Walter.
Nimoy. Oh, it's so much.
Yes.
But they do. They go there.
Yes.
And they bring these characters together. And then it's all about them.
Mm-hmm.
And X-Files did a brilliant job of, even when they let us know, listen, we all know, Chris Carter says it because they're playing off the fandom and playing with everyone.
Right.
Well, we alluded that it's Mulder's baby. It's Mulder's baby, okay? We know. And we know.
And you know, like, okay.
And we don't
you know,
need any more than that.
Right, right. And okay, so maybe even if not biologically, he is.
It is his.
It is his child. Yes.
And he says in that final episode, I'm thinking about my son and his mother and where they are right now. It's there. We mm-hmm. don't need more. And I feel like people are forgetting all about the last movie.
Oh, right.
Because we're going to talk about real life relationships here. Okay. And in the last movie, mm-hmm. man, they were not doing well. I don't care that at the final scene of the movie, they were in a boat mm-hmm. on this beautiful blue lake and you know, just out into this doing whatever they want. No. The truth of it is, the two of them were living together. Things were not great. Mulder, crazy.
Left the toilet seat up one too many times.
I mean, things were not going well. And a lot in the second movie, which, of course, I like because it's an X-Files thing mm-hmm. and Skinner's in it. And that's probably the best scene in the whole movie is when Skinner shows up to, like, help Mulder.
Yeah.
But it wasn't widely considered to mm-hmm. be the best X-Files thing ever. And that's probably why.
Right.
And no one thinks about that.
And, I mean, we're also adults. And, you know, we see how relationships work. And it's not unreasonable or unbelievable to think that, you know, after all these years, you know, they're still going to be in each other's lives. But it doesn't mean that they have to. Just because they're not, you know, sleeping in the same bed doesn't mean they're not important and still in love. There's still not that connection. I mean, we bought it. We fought for that and we loved it and we showed up every week. Well, some of us later. but we were okay even before like the first tease of a kiss.
Right.
Even before the first, you know, like
that friggin' let alone the bee. That friggin'
know, right?
movie.
It was I remember again going back, ex-boyfriend, first thing I ever saw of X-Files with that movie, and I'm going to say he yelped like a little girl.
Yeah.
Because he was like, are you kidding me?
No.
Exactly.
Stupid bee.
And I was like, oh, this has been, you know, 5-year foreplay.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, it really was. That's the thing is it really was. It was.
But it was still
there. Yeah. It was always there. It was, are they, are they not? Or is mm-hmm. it going to happen? But it didn't matter.
Right.
Because
it wasn't
week,
what defined them.
Right. Every week it was their ability to work out a problem
mm-hmm.
and their extreme care for each other.
Yeah.
No matter what the situation was, that kept us coming back. Mm-hmm. Not the fact that they were, you know, boinking in the basement.
Right.
That had nothing to do with what made them interesting and what made their connection interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So to now be like, well, that's the only thing that's important. And Chris Carter doesn't know what he's talking about, even though he created these people in this world. And that's insanity to say.
Yeah. I mean, do they want to just like flash forward like 30 years and have them be sitting in rocking chairs next to each other?
Right. I mean,
she's knitting and he's holding the ball of yarn or something. Like, is this, if that's what they need to know?
Well, they watch like Plan 9 from Outer Space in the background. Like, no,
oh
no.
My God.
We should instead have an extreme respect for the way this show was written and the way these characters were written and the way they grew based mm-hmm. on from everything between Chris Carter and the multiple directors they had that were amazing and the writers that were just fantastic and the actors and just. They created this amazing relationship. Let's respect that
mm-hmm.
and let it be natural because the truth is we all keep saying, well, we would love for them to be together right up into the sunset, but that's not real. And the X-Files, for as paranormal and out there as it was always very mm-hmm. real. People's reaction to things,
mm-hmm.
The way the world worked, the way
the government
worked.
Yes, exactly.
It was real and their relationship is very real. Two people,
mm-hmm.
20 years later.
Still trying to figure it out.
I'm telling you, that's life, man.
Well, and the thing is, too, you know, this comes up a lot when a series that's very popular and people love and they feel very attached to and protective of, when it ends, they want everybody's storyline to be finalized, checked off, and happy.
Tied up in a little bow.
And, yeah, you know, just because the problem is life doesn't work that way. Just because we're not watching them, their lives are still going on. And you know what? The crazy shit's still going to happen. The good stuff's going to happen and the bad stuff's going to happen. We're not going to see it. So saying that, like, everybody's getting a happy ending at this point in their life when their life is only halfway over.
Right, right.
It's kind of ridiculous. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you need the flash forward scene, you know, just close your eyes, boys and girls. Okay, take this moment. Close your eyes. She's got the same, similar bob, maybe a little shorter, but, you know, it's frosty white. He's got the little widow peaks going, aww, but, you know, they're rocking gently next to each other. Hmm. She's giving him that side eye like Mulder. You know, it's good. It's all good.
And maybe that's happening somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Well, I mean, if you think about, I mean, you've definitely, you have seen more and read more sci-fi than me, but I mean, I've seen enough and I'm like, okay, I understand that, you know, not everybody views time linearly.
Right.
If you are of the belief that everything we're experiencing in our life is happening at the same time, we just only recognize certain bits of it, mm-hmm, in this moment, right now, that's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing. Absolutely. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It's great.
And let's just all be thankful that this show happened and these people happened and this major influence on our lives and it has happened.
Yeah.
And I'm very much looking forward to it. And
yes.
I know what's coming in the sense of where the relationship is. I'm looking, mm-hmm, forward to it.
Right.
I'm looking forward to see how they come back to the X-Files, how they work together. I think it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. I have 100% faith in Chris Carter, mm-hmm, and everyone else who has come back to work on this. I have faith in Fox, which is something I haven't said in years, but I do.
Few people have.
Because it's right. I have faith in Fox's promotion of the show.
Right.
And I think it's going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be exactly the way it's supposed to be. I hope I don't say different in 2 days.
I know, right? Right. Okay, so down to a little business. So again, this is our second preview, our expanded preview of season 10 of The X-Files. Tonight, the first part, or the pilot, will air. And on Monday night, the second episode will air on Tuesday night, which is the 26th?
Sure.
We will be recording our first episode, which actually covers the series. So the first two episodes of season 10 we will cover on Tuesday night, and we will post that. I'm just happy to share adventures again.
Yes.
I'm really trying not to put any expectations on it. It's kind of like, you know, if I could get one more Harry Potter book, I would just be happy for more experiences. I'm not going to, you know, demand that this happens to that person, that sort of so forth.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about it. And, you know, if you're excited about it, or, you know, your reactions to things, you can reach up to us. We have an email, which is MulderIt'sUsPodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on iTunes at MulderIt'sUs and X-Files Podcast. On Twitter, MulderIt'sUs. And Candy's site, Candy Presents. And the podcast will be posted there.
Yes, and everything will be in our Twitter, and we'll link to things, and let us know what you think and your thoughts of what we have to say and what's coming.
Exactly, and if you want to follow us individually on Twitter, Candy's at Candy Presents, and that's Candy with an I, and I'm at Jenny B. Creative, also with an I, but only because Jenny with the Y was taken. So tell us what you think, reach out to us, we hope you're excited. Watch the show tonight. Yay. Okay. For the Mulder It's Us podcast, I've been Jen.
I've been Candy.
Good night. But